coming back at you. Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday, May 21st. Dab Lawyer from the Radio Hut, thank you for waking up with us this morning, making us part of your life. Well, it is Wednesday. I call this our Wednesday tradition. Every Wednesday, got to talk with our friends over at OSBTI in Breckenridge. Got Sam on the phone with me this morning. Sam, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, today we're going to talk about kids and playing, and I can't wait to hear what you got to say about this. What can you tell us about kids and playing around?
Yes. So studies are starting to show that more and more kids nowadays just don't know how to entertain themselves. They don't know how to play. And sadly, it's something that us here, like in our speech field, that we are starting to see more and more of it as well. And children's natural, like playing naturally, is a form of research, and it helps them learn and kind of teaches them different life skills that they need to learn. And now with so much technology that we have, that kids are more dependent on sitting on a screen, or parents are more dependent on entertaining their children with having the TV on or giving them a phone or giving them a video game to play. But sadly, that's kind of killing off our kids' way of learning things and learning how to cope with really important life skills. Studies are showing that playing helps teach concepts, words, and sounds, and it builds essential foundations for them to even to learn. They're saying that more kids that are learning, they can learn different skills as far as like building their imagination and being more creative. And this creativity is a great skill to have when they get older, not even as a young adult, but even like grown-ups, and kind of builds up their skills for when they get a job. It teaches them problem-solving skills, different leadership skills, or even like interacting with others. Whereas when we play with video games, we don't really learn interactions. We don't learn problem-solving skills. It's kind of one of those things like, oh, I failed at this. Let's just go and try this again.
Sure.
Or this friend said, if I do this trick, I'm going to get it right. Whereas if we let our kids play and we interact with them, let them take the lead of playing, they're going to learn more things. They're going to build up different skills that you can't really teach in front of a screen.
That is amazing stuff. So it is more than just, you know, the definition of playing. There's a lot more to that than, you know, when people think about that, when you say playing, it's like, oh, yeah, just kind of a surface thing. But this is amazing. There's a lot more to that. There's a lot more involved, right?
Right, yeah. Science is saying there's such a huge connection between play and learning. It just, it shows that joyful and playful experiences help boost your brain's production of dopamine, and your neurotransmitters are linked to your memory and your attention and creativity and motivation. So when kids are having fun and they're not just playing, they're building their mental and emotional tools that help them thrive in school and later on in adult life at their jobs and just general, like, relations with others.
Well, and I'm thinking, you know, when you talk about mood disorders too, playing probably has something to do with helping that along or avoiding a lot of that too, correct?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, play just has this a natural life lesson built into it that we don't really realize. And as far as like when we have a screen, it doesn't teach you those ways to how to handle your emotions. It's just kind of a lesson learned with play that it just, you learn as you play. It's just a simple thing.
Right.
It's just crazy how much play is linked to so many things. And sadly, it's something that people are losing a skill of how to play, and they're just losing some of those life skills that are so important for them.
And you can sort of teach kids that too. Sam, great information. If people want to know more, what is your number at OSBTI?
Oh, yes, definitely. Our number here is 218-641-7725.
Sam, great to talk to you, as always. Have a good rest of the week, okay? We'll talk next Wednesday.
You too. Thank you so much.
That is Samantha, OSBTI in Breckenridge. Talk kids and playing today. Fascinating stuff. We talk with our friends at OSBTI every Wednesday here. The Voice of the Valley, AM 1450, KBMW.
This is the Ag Central Radio Network. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson.
China is one of the world's biggest suppliers of fertilizer. However, China has pulled back in recent years on the amount of exports, preferring to keep more on hand for domestic use. This is Josh Linville, Vice President of Fertilizer for StoneX.
Every time we see updated operating rates in China, they remain extremely high, which means that product is getting produced in country. And that really brings the question of, what are they doing with all of it? Where is all this product going? They can't hold 5+ million tons and just create the storage. I personally believe, and listen, this is China. We don't ever know. It's always educated guesses if we can even call them that. But when I look at China, we have seen where the government has kind of started to tell its own people, listen, we need to be less reliant on the world. We need to produce our own food. Well, how do you ramp up yields? Well, you fertilize more. So I think just an increase in domestic demand could soak up a lot of that product that they would normally export. We have been hearing where storage is near record highs or at or above record highs. That has led to some speculation that we will see some exports be allowed here fairly shortly.
He says even if China eventually ships out excess fertilizer that it can't store, that still means the world's biggest exporter will likely be missing for at least half of 2025. What should farmers be thinking about for this fall and next year's applications?
So from a farmer's perspective, you are spending far more of your bushels of corn to pay for that DAP. This is the market's way of trying to kill demand. And so not to say this improves in the years to come. I hope that it does. I'm staying hopeful this all corrects itself and get back to some decent values. But there needs to be some hard decisions. And I think one of those things that you need to have an idea of, what do I truly need to raise next year's crop?
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says a mixture of temperatures and mostly above normal precipitation nationwide make up the forecast for the period of May 27th through June 2nd.
Taking a look at the National Weather Service 8 to 14 day outlook, and this covers the last 5 days of May and the first 2 days of June, it looks like cool air will